Sunday with Miriam on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Travel Department. Explore the wonder of the world's most iconic sites with Travel Department, the world discovered together.
Dubliner Siobhan O'Rourke is a presenter on TG Cahir and formerly with Ireland AM. She's also a co-host of the hugely popular How to Gael podcast, and she's been working away in a new podcast mini-series on a topic that is uppermost in her mind at the moment, pregnancy and childbirth. Siobhan O'Rourke, Fáil sé roimh ar maidin, will to come on.
Girl, Mila Morgan, Brian, tell me, on a walk, what is that too fain?
Ian Tucker Fodd, you're blossoming and blooming, as they say.
Glowing, I believe, is the term people like to use. I don't mind that one.
Definitely glowing. Listen, before we get into the podcast, it's a topic you're deeply invested in at the moment. When's your baby due?
I am due the end of January, so I've just 2 months to go.
It's exciting.
It is, massively exciting. And every day brings something new. And every day I'm like, oh my God, my body is doing that. And I could talk about it for hours. I just find it the most endlessly fascinating topic.
Yeah, I agree, because you are within you growing a human being. I never, ever stop thinking that's extraordinary.
Absolutely. Sure, you did it 7 times. You know, we're better than anyone, I'd say, better than most. Like now I understand why there's so many books and movies and TV shows that still have pregnancy and childbirth as a main storyline, because it really is. Like, it's omnipresent. It's happening all around us at all times. But I my mind is blown every minute of every day.
And it's your first baby, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
And you look well. I often think that if you look well, you probably have felt well all along, have you?
I've been very lucky. I wasn't sick in the first trimester and my energy's been great. So I really, yeah, I have to recognise my pregnancy privilege there. I've been able to kind of plough on with everything. Yeah, it's been great.
Now, have you been surprised or even overwhelmed at the kind of advice that often comes at you when you're pregnant?
Absolutely. People are so well-meaning, but there is a lot of unsolicited advice. And I get it, because different things work for different people. Even yourself, Miriam, when you were on my How to Gael podcast recently, you said, Siobhan, take the epidural.
One word of advice is all I ever give, epidural.
And I get that, because that's obviously what worked for you, and it worked for you 7 times. So I don't see why people wouldn't share with me what worked for them, you know?
Yeah.
But some people are a bit more aggressive than you were, and they tell you they talk to you in absolutes, and that's where it starts not becoming helpful, you know?
Like what? What did they say to you?
Don't be a hero. Absolutely, don't be a hero in that birthing room. Don't do it natural. Don't do it like this. Don't exercise. Make sure you rest. Make sure you exercise. Very conflicting advice as well. And then social media, don't even get me started. Instagram, I think, is the first person that knows you're pregnant, okay? And a gentle warning to anyone who may be not telling one in their first trimester, those likes are very public and people can see what you're interacting with online, and it can get you caught out if you don't want to be. But social media, just the barrage of 60-second advice that you get there every second of every day from people who you don't know are qualified, you know, and you're saving them and you're sending them to your partner and saying, oh, we must do this or else our child will end up like XYZ. But you've no way to verify that information.
100%. And the truth is, no one knows until you actually go to give birth how you're going to be. Have you made, as some people have made, a birth plan? How tightly bound are you to it? And if things change last minute, which they can, Siobhan, will that be okay with you?
Absolutely. No, I'm very open to however my birth goes. Whatever my body and baby needs, that's what I will do. I am going to have a birth plan. I haven't written it yet. I have 2 months to go. But I'm going to have a birth plan. And what I'm going to do is, in my plan, I'm going to have a plan for every possible outcome of birth. So for physiological birth, for an epidural, for a C-section, for any possibility, I'm going to have a plan so that I feel like I have a say in whatever does happen, that I feel like I've been engaged and been a part of that process and part of the choices.
Now, you're married to Carl Pendred. Mm-hmm. MMA fans will know him well from his involvement in the sport. Tell me where you both met and what does he do now?
So we met in a really romantic setting. It's on Harcourt Street. Many people mightn't have heard of it. It's called Copperface Jack's, okay? That dark little corner of Harcourt Street. So we met there coming up on 8 years ago now, and we are married just a year and a half. And Carl, while he was a professional athlete, he has completely changed, and he has done a master's in sustainability recently, and he's working in the sustainability field.
Wow, that's so interesting, actually.
Yeah.
Now, is he as invested in finding the best info about pregnancy and birth?
More. He's more invested. Like when I very early in the pregnancy, he went out and bought a stethoscope, right? So he could listen in to baby and belly,
so
right?
Cute.
And he was like, I can hear them. They're moving around. They're really moving around in there. And I was like, I don't know. I think maybe you should try this on yourself. And he listened to himself and he was like, I think it's just dinner. I think it's just, I was like, yeah, I think that's just our digestive systems. I'm not sure you can actually hear baby moving through the stomach. But he's so excited. And yeah, he sends me stuff all the time, articles and yeah, maybe some of the stuff on social media. It's a very exciting time for both of us, and the two of us are, yeah, I'd say equally as invested.
And you haven't found out whether it's a boy or a girl, have you?
No, we're trying to keep it a surprise.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, well, nothing's a surprise anymore, Miriam. You know, like I can't Google what's in my womb currently. You know, it's one of the only things I can't Google. Or like, when will I give birth? That'll be another surprise. But I've always suspected, and I feel bad now I keep saying it, and I'm saying it on national radio again. I've always thought it was a boy. And then last night I had a dream it was a girl.
Ooh.
It's 50-50. You know, one of them's going to be right. Either my good feeling or my dream.
Yeah. Now, listen, in terms of your new podcast, so who have you spoken to for the podcast and who do you trust, I suppose, to give the right advice?
Yeah. So I went to professionals. Yeah, I wanted to source people who were qualified in what they're speaking about. So and it was really hard. This is only a mini series, so I only chose 6 topics to dive into, whereas there's so much within the pregnancy field. But I just said, I'm going to try and be concise about it and pick the 6 biggest things for me in pregnancy and what I hope will be helpful for other people. So I'm speaking to a women's health expert and fertility and pregnancy dietitian, Jess Willow. She was amazing. And she kind of opened my eyes to maybe some biases that I had around food during pregnancy. Like I asked her, I was like, and come here, we're bigger than our cravings. We can overcome our cravings. And she was like, why do you think we should overcome cravings? She's like, cravings are cravings for a reason. You could be craving chocolate because there's magnesium in chocolate and you might need that. And so I haven't stopped eating chocolate since she told me that, you know. And then I'm doing an episode on mental health, and I got the chief clinical psychologist from the Rotunda in for that one, because I think, like, we think a lot about the physical changes, but we don't always think about the emotional toll that pregnancy has on us, you know.
Absolutely.
And like, that's for me, I don't even have other kids. I can only imagine how difficult it is for people with toddlers or two toddlers running around, and you're trying to grow a baby and the pressures that puts you under. I also speak to a home birthing midwife about the choices we have during labour. How can we make these choices? How can we be informed to advocate for ourselves during pregnancy and during labour? I have someone in talking about body changes, so I have a midwife talking about all the crazy, like, the stuff your body goes through. Like, some of it I can't even mention, I'd say. But the, like, people's feet growing, blowing up during pregnancy and never going back to the same size it was beforehand. What, like, why does that happen?
Isn't that fluid retention?
Yeah, but why doesn't it go back out? Like, some people's feet remain that size after pregnancy and you have to get a whole new wardrobe of shoes. How shocking. Terrible.
Didn't
How terrible.
Know that.
Yeah. You have to go shopping. I then have an exercise professional who's going to run through actually a workout with people as well. So that's what I was struggling with. I wanted to be active during pregnancy. I also wanted to rest during pregnancy. So I've created a resource that people could come back to and do the workout live along with the podcast. They can keep coming back and do it once a week, twice a week, something like that. And then finally, it's actually my first episode is about maternity leave and employment law around maternity leave in Ireland. And I have a solicitor in speaking to us about that.
Actually, that's really important. And as you said earlier, I suppose one of the topics you do highlight is mental health and pregnancy. And dealing with grief and pregnancy. And I know that is very personal to you right now, Shiva. And I'm not going to go into it in any depth because it's so recent, but you lost your beautiful sister a few months ago. Do you want to tell me a little, just a bit about that?
Yeah.
Because it's so recent.
Yeah. So I lost my older sister, Una, suddenly in April of this year, which was just a shock to us all. Like, she was 16 months older than me. So we were very close in age. She lived over in London. And yeah, it's just been a pretty terrible part of this year. And then I suppose I became pregnant quick enough after losing Una, which has been healing in some way for me and for my whole family. But there's a whole boat of emotions that comes with grief and mourning and with pregnancy, and juggling all of those kind of battling emotions in my head. It kind of depends, you know, on the day, which ones come out on top. And I there's a lot of guilt. I feel a lot of guilt. Like, my sister was only 33 when she died, and I will very soon be turning 33, and I'm doing something that she never got to do. And it's just, it's hard to reconcile both of those circumstances happening in the one year.
Yeah, I totally understand that. And I suppose it's a mix of that huge loss for you and your parents and your younger sister, and then this whole beautiful new life coming into the world. It's that balance, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. And some days that's just harder to get right. Like, it's harder to balance them than others. But it's just made me very resolute to keep speaking about my sister. And we have pictures of her everywhere. And she will be a huge presence in my baby's life, you know.
Forevermore. Mm, yeah. Mm. And I'm going to leave that at that because I'm conscious it's so recent for all of you.
Thank you, Naomi.
Listen, why did you step back? Because you were brilliant presenting Ireland AM. Was there just too much going on at that moment?
Oh, Carmina Mockett, Miriam. I loved Ireland AM. It was such a great experience. And I worked on Ireland AM for 2 years and I was part of the weekend team. So I was presenting every Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But I have other work going on. I work with Irish language organisation, Conor na Gaeilge. I have my other podcast, How to Gael. I was working 7 days a week and it was very unsustainable for anyone, but also for a pregnant woman who should be putting her feet up the odd time, you know. I had no days off. I had no real like time with my husband. And I said, something's got to give. And unfortunately, I had to look at everything I was doing and see like what was the most practical thing to give up. And as a self-employed kind of independent contractor, my TV work isn't covered by maternity leave, you know, by mandated maternity leave. Whereas my other work, like with Conor na Gaeilge, is. So I made the very difficult decision to step away from R&AM to prioritise the work that did give me maternity leave. And this is finding no fault with the R&AM or Virgin Media whatsoever. Unfortunately, that's just the sector of being an independent contractor and being self-employed, you know. So I don't know. Will I come to regret that for my own career in years to come? I don't know. But for me right now, it was definitely the right decision, you know.
And you can easily go back to it. It's just the lot of being an independent contractor.
Yeah.
Listen, I want to ask you too about your incredibly successful How to Gael podcast with Darren Louise. I was lucky to be on it very recently. Tasha Bean Thicker Fad. Call this Gael, Anne. I mean, what is your definition of a Gael?
Well, Gurmila Mogan, Mary Mogan, Fian Thalin, Rahanathu, Shakla, Leritlin, Vian Agron, Shin, Unthuk. I recommend anyone check out our episode of Miriam Vite, Dukret, Air Fad. Is though good Gael Shadina, a client's le. Ni just cultur na heron, och le, I don't even want to say vibe, what's it in? is that too hipster le raw, vibe na heron? You know, it's dinna a Higgins star, I guess, on Strackelt, I guess, na ruddy dunna hiasin. Aaronic, you know, it's understanding that we have come from a, you know, a difficult place. We came from struggle. We understand struggle. We're open and we understand that, you know, we had to go out there and travel the world. It's a very accepting person as a Gael. You know, there's a saying, Gael is a Gael, it's come a dove ba ni rivoc, which means a Gael is a Gael if you're black, white or striped. You know, it's not about what you look like. It's not about where you come from. It's an attitude and it's an accepting and open and welcoming attitude. And I think that's what a Gael is.
Cinnte, agus an raibh Gaeilge a gaibh sa bhaile agus tú óg?
Yeah, tá Gaeilge ag mam. So dás mar níos le Gaeilge sa bhaile, so tógal le Gaeilge muid. Bhí an tál in is tógal go raibh an Gaeilge gaoin sa bhaile agus ní dálam gur hig mé an tá sin go dí go raibh mé ar an ullscoil, you know? Like, just kind of glock mé leis sa bhunscoil, sa bhanscoil. It was actually a bit weird go raibh Gaeilge gaoin sa bhaile ag an pród le dhíine eile, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas mo bhaim an ish, dearan si, like, ba phríomhide í mo bhaithir agus dearan siise leis an méadú atá hís tocht ar an kind of multicultural culturalism in Ireland.
That's awesome.
Go will she nish nice normal to Darach Yonga ve Agatsawalia. So Tashin ish nice normal to Gwelga ve Agatsawalia. So actually Korean kind of on ill culture hooked new a satir leshen danga agus le normal in the tanga, which I think is an amazing thing.
I'm not surprised to hear your mother, of course, as a principal, because I think teachers tend to instill that in their children. And I know you discuss it with your fab co-host Darren and Louise, but have you been able to define what's happening though in the rise of interest and positivity in Irish recently? You know, is it just the Gael Scullina? Is it people like you speaking at home? Is it because it's cool? Is it kneecap? Is it confidence? Cut the harla.
Massimus mask on the anacrid roddy. Like, Kinta, it's fecalocht na tanga. Tadini naun ia eskint agus ia clustal ordon idr nashunta, like vian Colleen Q naun, vi kneecap aun, like vian Colleen Q egna Oscars, like scan on Oscar agadin Cade or egna Oscars. I think just tadini eglurug feinulocht nis loidra, you know? Tugan on Gaeilge shin doin. And it's Nadini Yoga, really, Augustini Misoeganomish, a ta, a tarrant kind of on Tunshuk, Araig, August Kuntussi, like Tommy, ho brodul, as an gade, glue, and ella, a ta, a vile, August a glock, a can of seek there in Tonga, August air glue shuk Nagoyaga. Akfreshen is kind of between of air na pubble snagoyal tukti, a ta, an ober, a shot, or shulaku, or fa, na blienta, August Nadini, a ta, egg ober in agrukti, or sun Nagoyaga. Agus Cake a Will kind of on Mion Jar fucking shot out so full before we law her, which is incredible. How do we convert that positive perception of the language to action to support the language? Gokdana a thaw, you know, it went sultas and tanga, August, who was kind of creating a relationship with the language, they need to now become activists.
100%.
On behalf of the language and speak to politicians if they come to their doorstep and make sure that Gaelge is part of the conversation going forward.
Well, look, Shivani Vor, Garev Mila Mila Mahagat, good luck with everything, with your birth, with the podcast, with life, and your new podcast, Labour of Love. It's a podcast mini-series. It's going to be available from this coming Wednesday, the 3rd of December. Wherever you get your podcast, you should listen to it because I know it's going to be wonderful. Tháirg the train.
Gairmíle maga, Miriam.
Slán.